Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Esther. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And I want to do something a little bit different today. Yesterday, we were talking about the Book of Esther as the Book of Exile, and I talked a very little bit about where we are in terms of the history of the Jews and our return to Israel for the second Beis HaMikdash. And I realized I didn't give a historical orientation really to when this story takes place. It's a challenge to do it without source sheets in front of you so I could give you a list of kings and dates. But at the same time, the more I think about it, the more I think that it's sort of integral to the story, and it's something that people don't necessarily hear a lot about. So we're going to try. Worst comes to worst, I erase this and start again and no one hears it. The story takes place during what's known as the Achaemenid dynasty. Achaemenid is usually spelled in English Achaemenid. And this is also known as the First Persian Empire. It's founded by Cyrus the Great somewhere around the year 550 before the Common Era. Before that, they are a collection of semi-nomadic tribes. They raise sheep, goats, and cattle on the Iranian plateau. They become one of the largest empires in history, right? Think Mehodu Vead Kush, like it says in the Megillah. They go all the way from the Balkans in Europe in the west to India in the east. Darius the Great, the fourth king of the Achaemenid Empire, is sort of the height of the empire in terms of its territorial control. They control the Caucasus, West Asia, the Black Sea area, Central Asia, parts of Libya, Egypt. It's a massive, massive empire. Now, the major problem you run into when you try to locate the Book of Esther in terms of its timing is an overall issue which we are not going to solve or even really explore, and that is the fact that Tanakh ignores most of the kings of the Persian Empire. Tanakh only mentions four or five of them, when in fact we know that there are more of them. How many there are and whose records we trust and when exactly they were, you can debate and discuss that. But let's give what we think we know. So Cyrus the Great, also known as Cyrus the Second, is the son of Cambyses the First. He is, as I said, the founder of the Achaemenid dynasty, best known to us for the fact that he's the one who defeats the Babylonians, so that the Persians overcome the Babylonians, and that, according to secular historians, happens in the year 539 before the Common Era. He's king from 559 until 530. Then, takeover from him is his son, Cambyses II, who is king 530 to 522, then Darius the First, 522 to 486, then Xerxes. I'm using pronunciations that are in English. These are not the pronunciations that are the original authentic ones. Xerxes, Xerxes is usually the way it's spelled, 486 to 465, then Artaxerxes the First, 465 to 424, then those are the major ones we need to know about. Then you've got Darius the Second, then Artaxerxes the Second, then Artaxerxes the Third, who is king until 338 before the Common Era. I'm not clear who follows him, but in the year 330 before the Common Era, this empire falls to Alexander the Great's invasion. So you're basically running from 550 or so to 330 or so in terms of the existence of this empire. The empire is known for culture, it's known for trade. They were Zoroastrians, which was a religion that talked about dual forces, light versus darkness. They have certain traits that show up in Megillas Esther. The problem is that when we talk about describing the Persians, that we're largely working from Greek texts, and the Greeks didn't really like the Persians. So you need to know that when you listen to the following. Herodotus, Greek historian, does not like the Persians, talks about their love of alcohol, and that's something that obviously comes up in a very big way in Megillas Esther. He is not complimentary when he talks about that. And the other piece that we know from Greek historians is that the Persians are very into polygamy, which obviously figures into chapter 2 in Megillas Esther. So, Ahasuerus. Let's talk about Ahasuerus. Which king could he be in this in the array of Persian kings? So Ahasuerus might show up elsewhere in Tanakh besides in Megillas Esther. In Sefer Ezra, chapter 4, after the Jews are licensed to return to Israel, and the first wave of Jews do in fact return to Israel, and they are starting to build the Beis HaMikdash, Ezra chapter 4, sentence 4, informs us that there were locals, Am Haaretz, the nation of the land, who tried to undermine the Jews who are building the Beis HaMikdash. They tried to frighten them as they are building, and they hired advisors who worked against them to try to undermine them with the Persians. And the text says, all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, until the reign of Darius, the king of Persia, and during the reign of Ahasuerus, at the start of his reign, they sent a letter attacking the dwellers of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. So there is some kind of an attempt by locals, these are the Samaritans, who are living in Israel, trying to obstruct the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's during the reign of somebody called Ahasuerus. Is this the Ahasuerus of the Purim story? Rashi says yes. Rashi says that this is in fact the Ahasuerus of the Purim story. And then the way that Rashi reads the sentences that we just said from Ezra is that the Samaritans were causing trouble from Cyrus's time through the time of Darius, and in between there is this king Ahasuerus. That's Rashi's read. Ibn Ezra disagrees, but that's Rashi's take. That's one king who may be our Purim Ahasuerus. The other possible reference to him, in Daniel chapter 9, we are told about a king Dariavesh of Madai. The Madai was a different empire. Madai was not the Persians. They worked with the Persians. It was Paras Umadai Incorporated. How closely is a great historical discussion. But the point for our purposes is that they mention a king in Daniel chapter 9, sentence 1, and he is identified as Dariavesh, Darius, son of Ahasuerus. So could that be son of Ahasuerus of the Purim story? Quite possibly. The reason why this is important is because there is a Darius, not Darius the Mede, a different Darius, who is going to allow the Jews to continue building the Beis HaMikdash, and if he's the son of Ahasuerus, that actually works very nicely. The problem is that he's not Darius the Mede, he's Darius the Persian. But that's, again, I'm worried about causing confusion here, so let me not do that. So, again, we have this Persian Empire, the Achaemenid Empire, starts with Cyrus, who defeats the Babylonians. Then you have Cambyses II, Darius I, then Xerxes, then Artaxerxes I. So who in there might be Ahasuerus of the Purim story? The Ahasuerus who may be the Ahasuerus mentioned in Ezra, who may be the Ahasuerus mentioned in Daniel. So you can rule out a few of these. You can rule out Cyrus. Cyrus is Koresh. He is mentioned amply in Tanakh. He is not Ahasuerus. Darius I and Darius II are clearly not Ahasuerus because they are Darius. They are Daryavesh, and they also get referenced in Tanakh. And so we know they're not Ahasuerus either. What about Artaxerxes I? No, we can knock him out also because he is mentioned in Tanakh as Artaxasta. There is, some may be familiar with the Gemara that says that Daryavesh is Artaxasta, is Ahasuerus. I'm not going there. That's a whole other discussion, which you have to see the Gemara inside in order to understand what that Gemara is doing. But Ahasuerus is not Cyrus. He's not one of the Dariuses. He's not one of the Artaxerxes. He could be Cambyses II. The king after Cyrus and before Darius I, which makes Darius his son, right? And maybe that's the Darius who's mentioned in Daniel. So that could work. That's what Rashi thinks. Rashi says Ahasuerus is Cambyses II, the son of Cyrus. That works well in the Medrash, because the Medrash says that Ahasuerus is before the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, right? Like the Medrash that says that when Ahasuerus says to Esther, I will give you up to half of the kingdom, he's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. That's this idea that Ahasuerus is before the Beis HaMikdash is in fact complete, so make him Cambyses, and that works because his successor, Darius, is the one who's going to allow the Jews to complete the Beis HaMikdash. It also works with a medrash that says that Ahasuerus and Esther have a son named Darius, who enables the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So since Cambyses is the father of Darius, that works out very nicely. So Rashi and the Medrash seem to think Ahasuerus is Cambyses, the king after Cyrus. It also works well with the fact that Herodotus describes Cambyses II as being expansionist and being very insecure, which we know is a trait of Ahasuerus. We started talking about that in our first shiur on Esther, and we're going to have a lot more to say about the insecurity of Ahasuerus. So, there are certain downsides to this, but that's certainly a read, and it's, like I said, it's Rashi's read, which automatically gives it strength. The other approach that I've seen brought that seems to have credibility is to suggest that Ahasuerus is Xerxes. So you have Cyrus, Cambyses II, Darius I, and then Xerxes, and that may work. First of all, just basic, Professor Gavriel Cohn in the Dot Mikra edition on Esther, as well as the Mitchell First, who's written a lot on the Persian era, note that the name Xerxes, as they would pronounce it, worked well with Ahasuerus. An advantage of it is that those psukim I mentioned in Ezra seem to put Ahasuerus between Darius and Artaxasta. So he would be after Darius, not before Darius, as Rashi has him. There's no guarantee that that Ahasuerus mentioned in Ezra is the Ahasuerus of Purim. Nonetheless, that's the way it's framed there. It also works well because of something that Herodotus, the Greek historian, says. Herodotus says that Xerxes was named king-in-waiting while his father, Darius, went to war against Egypt and Greece, and he became king when his father was killed. He succeeded then in defeating Egypt, and in the third year of his reign, he held a gathering of all the Persian nobility to discuss next steps. So, the third year of his reign, Xerxes holds a gathering of all the Persian nobility. That sounds like the party, which especially fits the fact that the Greeks alleged that the Persians, when they wanted to make major governing decisions, held massive parties with a lot of drinking and came to their conclusions. And the next morning, if they sobered up and they still liked their decision, that's what they would go with. They were a lot of fun. So it also fits with Herodotus' recording that Xerxes was heavily into women, into cruelty, and into hunger for conquest. Also, his wife is named Amestris, which, you know, sounds sort of like Esther. Mitchell First does some work on this. There's a historical challenge with doing this. If Ahasuerus is really Xerxes, that means that more than 110 years have passed since the exile of the Jewish king Jehoiachin at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, toward the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Mordechai is supposed to be from the exile of Jehoiachin. So that means 110 years, more than 110 years have passed since then. So it could be he's just meant to be a descendant of that exile. That could be a way to solve the problem. There's more to say about it, but I think I've confused things enough. The bottom line out of all of this, the Achaemenid dynasty is the Persian dynasty we're talking about. And Ahasuerus of the Persians is mentioned possibly three times in Tanakh. Book of Esther, obviously one of them, but possibly in a list of Persian kings in Ezra chapter 4. Possibly in Daniel chapter 9, which mentions an Ahasuerus who is the father of a king named Darius. Rashi believes that Ahasuerus of the Purim story is Cambyses II, who follows Cyrus the Great. The other possibility that may work is that he's actually Xerxes, the fourth in the line of the Persian kings we identified. I hope this was meaningful and helpful.